Here comes episode number 214.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And no matter what type of an RV you have, whether it is a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this is for you because on this podcast, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So, welcome. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. All right, let me ask you a question. Is your RV overweight? Are you? Two questions. Are you overweight? Well, in this week's podcast, we have a very fun talk with our friends James and Steph. You know them from the Fit RV. And we talk about the importance of weighing your RV to make sure it's not overweight and thus unsafe for the road. Here's a scandal that doesn't get a lot of attention, but too many RV manufacturers out there send their RVs out from the factory dangerously close to the maximum weight limit, something that many RVers are unaware of when they start loading their gear and then themselves into it. And then we tend to get overweight too. It's too easy for life on the road to cause us to be overweight. And Steph will be talking about that. James will be talking about overweight RVs and how to weigh your RV. And I think you'll find lots of interest with this terrific RVing couple in our interview of the week coming up a little bit later on. Plus, we have an RV tip from Jennifer. We've got your RV questions, traveling technology tools for the RVer, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts. All coming up right here in episode 214 of the RV Podcast. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we're back in our sticks and bricks house in Michigan and literally catching our breath between trips. It's been pretty much nonstop travel from California to Pennsylvania and up and down from the north to the south in between with many stops since pretty much early summer. Now, we've had a ball, though, haven't we?
We have.
It's nice to have a little break, though.
We just returned from an absolutely fabulous trip to Kansas, specifically the Flying W Ranch, located on 7,000 acres of tall grass prairie. It was another one of our road trekking gatherings, the eighth of the year, and this one was on a working cattle ranch. We had road trekkers from all across the country show up. We camped boondock style right next to a horse corral, and we were so busy. We hiked, took a lot of awesome photos, stargazed under the big prairie sky, learned all about the cowboy culture, and actually joined in on some of the ranch activities.
And the absolute highlight of those activities had to have been the cattle drive. We were able to mount up on horses, and we accompanied the real cowboys on the ranch out into the pastures for a longhorn cattle drive. And it was an unforgettable experience. So much fun. We were literally right in the middle of the herd. And I can't wait to put together the video of that experience.
The other highlight was the tall grass prairie itself. You know, Kansas is a place that most people go through on their way to or from some other place. But believe us, it very much belongs on your bucket list. When Mike gets the video uploaded to our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, you can see for yourself. But the prairie is so stunningly beautiful that even my husband's excellent video skills can't capture it all.
Yeah.
It needs to be seen firsthand. Yeah. The tall grass prairie used to cover a huge section of North America, 170 million acres, from Ohio to the Rockies and Mexico to Canada. Today, only 4% remains, and that's mostly in the Flint Hill region of Kansas where we were. The U.S. Park Service has established the Tall Grass Prairie National Preserve there, and it's well worth a visit.
As our gathering broke up Monday, there was a light covering of snow on the ground. That's pretty early. And the first hard freezes and the heavy frosts of the year have hit many of the northern and midwestern states this week. Out in Kansas, the cowboys at the ranch told us that they are expecting a much harder than normal winter this year. They said that extra thick coats on the horses and the cattle are already showing up, which is much earlier than normal. And of course, the woolly bear caterpillars out there, they say that they're seeing signs of much longer black bands on the caterpillars than the rust-colored bands. Turns out that the more black showing on the caterpillar, supposedly the more severe the winter will be, and it's predominantly black bands on the woolly bears out there, at least in Kansas. And the cowboys believe, they say that they're sure that winter's going to be tougher than normal this year.
Speaking of winter and cold weather, it's time to make sure your RV is winterized. That means draining your plumbing system and running RV antifreeze through it. We'll talk more about this in a few minutes in the listener questions segment of the podcast. But it's that time of year again, and cold weather is pretty much with us from now on.
Hey, this part of the program is brought to you by some friends of ours who have some special deals for you, the RVer, and we'll give you references to all of them. The first is AllStays Pro, which is our go-to tool when we are looking for places to camp or have a question like everything from where to dump or whether there's a free Walmart parking lot we can overnight in. AllStays Pro is a great resource to have. I like the Pro version over the app version because we can use it on our tablet or our computer, and thus we have a bigger screen and we can really see much more. Plus, AllStays Pro is updated much more often than the apps. And then also by Harvest Hosts. Harvest Host is a very unique membership service that allows members to stay free overnight across North America in wineries, in farms, in attractions, beautiful places, uncrowded places, and it's absolutely free. You got to be a member of Harvest Host, and then you can search wherever you are and you'll see what's nearby where you can overnight. And also buy Overnight RV Parking, which is a subscription service that provides details on over 12,000 free or nearly free RV overnight parking locations. So if you want to learn about these three services, all of them offering discounted rates to listeners of this podcast, just go to the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/214. Scroll down a little bit and you'll see a link to all of those. AllStays Pro, Harvest Hosts, and Overnight RV Parking.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Officials at Grand Teton National Park say tourists who repeatedly fed fruit to a mother bear and her cubs are responsible for her death. The bear, which already showed boldness towards people, was apparently repeatedly fed fruit from a car in early October. This led the bear to start approaching cars to make contact with people. Park officials feared it was only a matter of time before a person was hurt. So the bears were trapped, and when no zoo or suitable facility could be found to take the mom, she was killed. A facility in Michigan agreed to take the three cubs. The tourists who fed her were found and charged. This sad story is an important reminder that no matter how cute, wildlife needs to be kept wild for their safety and ours.
Here's another sad story. At least two people lost their lives last week when the RV park that they were camping in along the South Llano River near Junction, Texas, swelled some 2 feet after 11.5 inches of rain fell in just a few hours, and many RVs were literally swept away. As of last weekend, at least two of the campers died, three more were missing. Many of the survivors had harrowing stories of awakening to find their RV full of water. One woman held her dog, clung to a tree for several hours before she was rescued by a helicopter. We'll keep watching that story, but it's a reminder to stay aware of weather conditions, especially if you are in areas that are prone to flash floods.
We are now halfway through October, and you know what that means? Halloween-themed camping is in high gear. From pumpkin carving to costume contests or even trick-or-treating, more and more campgrounds around the country are drawing families out in droves every October with Halloween-themed camping experiences. Many state and provincial campgrounds have special events each weekend up through Halloween. Jellystone campgrounds have pumpkin-related events, many KOA campgrounds have special events, and a lot of private campgrounds go all out. You can find an open spot, book it, you'll have a ball.
Which is more beautiful, a sunset or a sunrise? A National Geographic article out this week that we're going to link to lets you decide, as it published a pretty cool story on the list of the 10 best national parks to either watch a sunrise or sunset. And true to the magazine's style of excellence, it included some pretty breathtaking pictures to accompany each of those national parks. So for those who love a good sunset or sunrise, the article is well worth a peek. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. It might even give you some new places to put on your bucket list. Just go to roadtrekking.com/214. Scroll down to the News of the Week section. You'll find the link there.
Remember how we told you about Fat Bear Week up at Alaska's Katmai National Park and Reserve last week? The social media contest was a March Madness-like event where the public voted on which of Katmai's salmon-chomping bear gained the most weight before hibernation. Well, after much excitement, the winner is a female named 409 Breadnose. The Katmai Bears were featured in our podcast in August. The Katmai Bears are a great example of how national parks can use the internet to create excitement about wildlife.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were like me. I watched those all summer long. I just left it up on my screen and watched the bears catching the salmon. And so we'll put a link to our interview that we did with the Katmai Rangers, and we'll put a video with that as well. And we'll put a picture there so you can see 409 Breadnose. One very chubby bear, and that was really fun that they did that contest. And congratulations! I am a big fan of Katmai, and it's on my bucket list. I need to go there sometime.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip, whatever she has in store for us? It promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Whenever we go to an RV show, as we did earlier this month in California, I meet people who are considering getting a Class B, and inevitably they ask, how do you live in such a small space? Now, Mike and I are not full-timers, but for the past 7 years, we have spent the majority of the year on the road, usually staying in our Class B road trek. And I have to say, when two people and a 60-pound dog are living any length of time in an RV, I have discovered certain things we can do that really help make our camper van feel more spacious. I thought I'd share them with you for this week's tip of the week. First, I always try to keep the van clean. There is something about a clean floor and clean counters and clean seats that just makes the space feel that much more inviting. Second is similar to the first, and that I keep clutter to a minimum. That means every time we take something out to use it, when we're done, we put it right back. When we make dinner, we immediately wash the dishes and put them away. We use a computer. When we're done, we immediately put it away. This having a spot for everything and then putting that in that right spot when we're done is so important. Third, don't bring it unless you're absolutely sure you need it. When we started RVing in our camper van, I found I would bring kitchen gadgets or clothing or other various items that we just didn't need. Granted, some of this knowing what to bring comes with experience, but in general, overpacking is one of the biggest ways to make your camper van feel cramped. Fourth, I always make up the bed into a couch each morning. Yes, this does mean we are setting it up and putting it away every day, but the setting up and putting it down really doesn't take that much time. And by converting our bed into a sofa, our living space just feels that much more spacious. Fifth, use space wisely. Make use of all the extra cupboards and hidden drawers. Use it to store as much as you can so you don't have items on your floor space or even your counter space because you have a hidden spot where they stay and you need to bring them out when you need to use them. Six, and final tip is to get outside as often as you can. We all start this lifestyle for adventure, to see things we haven't seen before. So when you arrive at your destination, don't stay locked up in your van. Go see the sights. Enjoy a comfortable chair outside at your camping spot. Make that camping area part of your living area, and it is amazing how much that makes a difference. So that is my quick list of how to make your camper van feel spacious, and I hope it was helpful to you today.
If you've got a tip that Jennifer should share, you can use the leave voicemail message on the roadtrekking.com website. Just click that link, record using the microphone on your computer or your smartphone, and you can do it as many times as you want. And then just click send, and it'll come right to her mailbox. And hey, you might be a star here on the RV podcast with your tip. And Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Jennifer and I have been using the RV, the e-bikes from Rad Power Bikes now since, probably January. We've been using them in our RV. We both have the city bike model. Jennifer has the newer version of it, which is a step-through model. I used to call those girls' bikes, but I'm told that's not an appropriate term anymore. They're step-through, and it's not just girls that use them. It doesn't have that center bar. You have to swing your leg over, so it's very easy to get in and on and off that bike. I have the regular city bike version with that center bar. It's kind of like a beach cruiser. Very comfortable to ride. Rad Power Bikes is where you need to go if you're considering an e-bike because they're, first of all, a consumer direct brand. That means you get a premium electric bike. You don't have to pay the huge markups caused by dealers or third-party retailers. And how about this? They're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes in the market because that dealer retail chain's cut out. They have a number of different models. All of those have the most powerful motor an e-bike can have, 750 watts. And that way it still maintains its street legal status. No licenses required. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bicycle. All their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. But what we love about our Rad Power Bikes is you pedal. You can pedal yourself and you'll get a little assist. You can dial that down. There's five different levels of pedal assist. You can use just a tiny little bit or basically none at all. Or you can take it all the way up to number five and get an added boost that'll get you up over a hill with no problem at all, with no pedaling if you want that way. Riders can go between 20 and 40 miles. And here's the deal. If you use the promo code ROADTREKKING at checkout, they will give you an additional $75 off. And of course, as always, you get free shipping. We have a video of our Rad Power Bikes in action. You can look in the show notes for this episode. Just scroll on down and you'll see them there at roadtrekking.com/214. Or go directly to the Rad Power Bikes site. The e-bike site for Rad Power Bikes is radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Laura Howard. I bought a 2015 Road Trek CS Adventurous this year, and my question for you is how you deal with intermittent freezing temperatures. I'm sure in your travels, although you probably head south, when you hear of cold weather, But I feel certain that you have encountered some freezing weather somewhere along the way. And I just wonder what you do to your camper in the winter to limit your possible damage from freezing. It's difficult to find anything concise, and I thought that that might be a great topic for one of your newsletters now that we're entering fall. I appreciate your help. I enjoy reading everything that you all post and looking at your videos and appreciate all that you all do. Thank you very much for your response.
Well, thank you, Laura. Bye. Thank you. And it is that time, isn't it?
It sure is. I wonder what state Laura lives in.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, let's do a couple things. First of all, look in the show notes, Laura, and we will link to two videos that we have put on our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. Let's go to rvlifestylechannel.com. But in the show notes, it's roadtrekking.com/214. Scroll down. And you'll see, you know, in the questions of the week, I'll put those links right there. One is on how to winterize an RV. It's the long way. And I think it was the first year we did it. We went over to Grand Rapids, and Hank, who's one of the best RV technicians I've ever encountered, showed us how to do it. It's like a long 18-minute video, step by step, every single possible question you answer on how to do it. And then a few years later, as I realized it's not nearly as complicated as we thought, I did one on how to winterize an RV the easy way. And that's the way we do it kind of now, pretty much. Actually, I might even have changed that a little bit. And I'll tell you how I do it in a second. But those two videos will make you very familiar with what's involved. And it's not that complicated. Now, you ask about differing temperatures. Like right now is a fairly challenging time because usually when winter and fall are about ready to fall to go out and winter to come, you get a couple nights that are really cold and then it gets warm and then it gets cold. Daytime temperatures are 50, 60. Nighttime temperatures, you know, 32 from, you know, anywhere from, well, it was 28 here last night in Michigan, but it's 56 out there now. So that's the sign that it's about time to winterize. When you're going to have consistently cold weather below freezing every night, you want to make sure that you clean out all the water that's in your freshwater plumbing system. That means empty the tanks, take your black tank in, and make sure that is empty. Empty the gray tank, get that all cleared out, and then you want to run antifreeze through there. The simplest way to do it, really simple, is I put 3 gallons of antifreeze in my freshwater tank. Then I turn on the water pump and I turn on all the faucets. And when the water on the faucets comes out pink, that's the color of that RV antifreeze, then the plumbing system is all set. Now, don't forget to do the outside shower. Then you take a little bit of antifreeze and pour it down into the toilet. I always pour maybe a quarter of a gallon in there, and that'll keep that from ever freezing. And then what else do you do? Oh, and then a little bit down the gray water tanks in the kitchen and in the sink. And also there's a little shower tank in the floor. Put a little bit in there. Not much. You don't have to put much in there. Just a couple tablespoons will do it. And you're set. You're set. It's that easy. We do it multiple times a year. So we would do ours in the next, right around the 1st of November most years, if the temperature is consistently below freezing for 6-8 hours every night. You know, when I say below freezing, I mean way below, in the 20s. If it's going to get down like that for a couple of nights, it's time to winterize real quick. You do not want it to freeze up. But generally speaking, you get a little warning system. It can get down that cold for a couple hours and you're going to be fine. If water on the ground is freezing, mud puddles and stuff, that's a sign it's too late. You better have that antifreeze in there. So we will do it in early January, although this year we will be in Florida. So we are going to be able to skate on through and we'll winterize on the way back from Florida just towards Thanksgiving time. Then we stay in cold country up until January because we do an annual winter camp out up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan where it's sometimes, below zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm hoping it's going to be cold and snow.
And that brings up the question, can you use a winterized RV? And you certainly can. The only difference is you don't have running water. So you bring your water to drink, and you always take a jug or two of antifreeze, and you use that to flush the toilet. In other words, whatever you put in the toilet, you put an equal amount of antifreeze in. And there's the benefit of winter camping. There's absolutely no odors because it goes down into that tank, which is kind of, the antifreeze makes it kind of a frozen sludge or slush. Won't damage it. And then you'll empty that in the spring, and you'll be good to go. So then we head back down south again, usually to Florida or the Gulf states where it's warmer, above freezing, and we de-winterize as soon as we get down there. And then we'll often re-winterize on the way back up from Florida. So we do it 2-3 times a year. It's that simple. Check out those videos. You've seen us do it. It takes 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, you don't seem to mind doing it.
No, it's one of the few things somewhat technical or mechanical I can actually do. So.
And it's worth it because as soon as you get where it's warm, you want to be able to use your water.
Now, I will say our very first RV 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago, we did freeze up. We froze up coming up to Michigan in early April. And along about Kentucky, it got really cold and we made it all the way up to Michigan. And it froze, but we were able to get it into an RV dealership where in the warm weather it melted up. And
want to see those icicles under your rig.
No, or something bursts and you don't want to see that. So so I hope that helps you, Laura. It's a pretty easy thing to do the first time around. Even though you look at the videos, if you're not comfortable with it, just take it to an RV dealer. And they'll charge you $150 probably to do it. But then you have the peace of mind. If you can have them show you, see if you can watch them as they do it, or you can watch our videos and you'll figure it out. But it's not nearly as hard as it is when you describe it.
And you don't want to take the chance of it freezing.
So this
play it safe.
When it gets down below freezing, even as soon as it starts to get below freezing, then that's time within the next week or so you want to get your RV winterized. Okay, another question.
What suggestions do you have for bedding? I have a 2018 Zion, 2 beds, middle aisle, not very comfortable. Do you have any ideas? Thank you.
All right, Jennifer, well, what would you suggest? We get this question a lot.
I would go someplace and get a foam pad to put down for the bedding.
Now, foam pad, how thick?
Depends on how much foam you want, how comfortable you want it. We have 1.5 inches. If you want to go 3 inches, some people go 3 inches. The downside of that is where you're going to put that foam pad during the daytime. But now, you can just kind of stick it off to one side.
Now, 1.5 inches, you can roll that up, and that's what we have in ours, and we are able to store it out of reach. It's fine. It stores out of sight. You can roll that 1.5 inch pad up. The 3-inch pad, which is ultra comfortable, is very heavy.
It's big.
It's huge, and you probably can't get that. You might on a single, but couldn't get both of them up in the cupboards because they're very big.
Right.
But
if you want a nice comfy bed.
Now my wife is the princess and the pea, and she would like the 3-inch. So we're thinking about getting a thicker one for her. The other thing that we have used is a mattress topper. We had I guess it wasn't truly a mattress. It was a stuffed, what was that? A bed, what was that thing? A comforter?
Instead of foam, it was like some kind of man-made material. It's a topper that you put on a bed.
It's a topper.
It was something that, it was in the fall and something that they sold for the kids to take back to college to make their beds more comfortable. Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, that was out west somewhere, I think in South Dakota.
And it worked great for a couple of years, and then all the padding went to the sides and the top and the bottom, and it was just two pieces of fabric together in the middle where you wanted it padded.
So we dumped that.
So that only lasted a few years.
So the solution we have is
the foam would last longer.
Yep, we've had this 1.5 inch foam for a couple of years.
We've had it for a long time.
And we like that. It makes it comfortable. We have, and we've talked about this many times before, we use something called the RV Super Bag. And you can go to rvsuperbag.com. We have no relationship with them other than that we really like their product. We've had both a single version of the RV Super Bag when we make the bed in singles, and we have a king size when we make it up in king. We really like it. We've had it almost 7 years with no wear and tear. So we put that on top of the thing. Now, you made a face at me.
I made a face at you because I'm seeing wear and tear. But
it's still good for another year
still,
or two.
It's still
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, it,
yeah.
I wash things a lot.
But we use it a lot. So, yeah. And we wash it every 4 days, 3 days when we're out camping.
Oh, that's the sheets.
Yeah. The sheets. Yeah. Not the top. And what it is some sheets Velcro inside. It's very comfortable. And just go to our YouTube channel, rvlifestylechannel.com. Look up RV Super Bag and you can see a video we did. All right. Here's an email question that came in and we'll give a quick answer to that as well. It says, Mike, I have a 2006 Road Trek 190 Popular Chevy. And we were thinking about towing a small travel trailer with it. What are your thoughts on this idea? This is from Terry and Donna. Well, we have towed a travel trailer, a 21-foot travel trailer, up and down the Rocky Mountains. And I'll link to a video in the show notes for this of how it worked with us. We had a Road Trek on the Sprinter chassis that could tow, I think it's 7,000. Don't hold me to that. 5 or 7,000 pounds.
It was 5,000, but maybe it was 7.
It could tow that much. And that we bought one of those, ultralight trailers with us, and it was great. We had no problem. A lot of people have done it, and trailers, of course, are getting lighter and lighter. So you would not have any problem, do you think?
Well, I think they need to check and see what a 190 Popular can tow.
Yeah, so look and see that. That's the first thing. Look at what's the maximum towing rate and tongue weight and all that. And then look at the trailers that you're interested in towing and see if that fits within there. And you should do just fine. These things can really tow. I'm not as familiar with the Chevy engine. I know it's not going to have as much torque as our diesel on the Mercedes chassis does, but I'm sure you could tow one of those ultra lightweights now. So check out those weights. That's the most important thing. But we had a great time towing that. Our daughter and her family were in that, and we were in our RV, and it was a regular caravan across. Our son followed in another RV, and we had a great vacation.
It was a great family vacation.
And you can see the video. As I said, I'll put that in the show notes, a link to the video on YouTube. This part of the podcast brought to you by Steinbring Motor Coach, a beautiful RV dealership, a third-generation family business up in Minnesota's Chain of Lakes region in Garfield, Minnesota. Steinbring Motor Coach is built on quality motorhomes, excellent pricing, and excellent service. Since 1917, the Steinbring family has been bringing you the best products and service within the transportation industry, and the sales staff at Steinbring Motor Coach has decades of experience in the recreation vehicle industry. They're celebrating 100 years in business. They're a third-generation family business, named consistently a Blue Ribbon dealer year after year by RV Business Magazine. They've been named a top 50 dealer numerous times. They offer new and used Newmar Class A motorhomes as well as Road Trek Class Bs. Also for sale, a lot of pre-owned coaches, Class A coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco. They have them in Class A's, Class B's, Class C's. They have diesel pushers, gas, toy hauls, whatever you're looking for in your next RV. You owe it to yourself to check out Steinbring Motor Coach. They have award-winning sales and service. They're terrific people. They treat you like family. And it's always good to do business with a family business because that's their name out front, and they treat you just like family. Give them a try, Steinbring Motor Coach, and when you contact them, tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the rvpodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
All right, we ask you at the beginning of the program, is your RV overweight? That's one of the more important topics that we discussed when we ran into a couple of friends of ours, James and Steph from The Fit RV. There's a bunch of us, we call ourselves the RV couples that are out there in different RVs. They happen to be in Winnebago Travato, and it's kind of fun. Many of us now know each other, and we crisscross the country. We run into each other at various events. We met Steph and James at the Hershey RV Show a couple weeks ago up in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We sat them down. We got talking about the importance of having a fit RV. In other words, make sure your RV is not overweight. Weigh your RV to make sure that it fits within the safe levels. And then also about being fit RVers, about maybe getting rid of some of that unwanted weight that living on the road can easily put on. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation with our friends, James and Steph from The Fit RV. So it is so much fun to run into friends and people we follow on YouTube and do the same thing. That's why we like to come to these events. It's more fun than seeing the RVs sometimes.
Indeed.
So you guys, The Fit RV, we had you on the podcast
a couple years ago.
Tell us what's up with you guys these days. Where have you been? Where are you going? And what excites you about this RV lifestyle we all share?
Let's see. So I think since we were on your podcast, we did an RV trek to Europe.
Ooh,
we RV'd around in the Alps for a couple weeks,
right,
and went to the RV show there in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a cat.
Yes, so that's been a whole new world for us. RVing with a cat it changes everything. So
now, did you ever RV with a dog?
No,
we don't have a dog.
So I don't know how to reference what a cat does, but it seems that they're much more self-sufficient than a dog.
They are, but you know how you can let your dog out, take your dog for a walk, and the dog loves to go out for a walk? Our cat doesn't love to go out so much. We do put the cat on a leash and a harness and try to take
it out. That'll get you some funny stares.
Yes.
I was
going to
say.
But,
yeah. We started him very young, and so he actually does pretty well, both in the RV. You know, some cats, you put him in a vehicle, they go, and then he doesn't do that. He just, you know, sacks out and goes to sleep.
Right. And the litter box is a challenge, though, too, because with a dog, you don't have to worry about having a litter box in the rig. And so that's been a challenge for us because we're in a camper van and we're already space challenged. But
so
we figured it out.
Yeah, to have to dedicate space for that was...
Yeah.
Now, you guys are in a Winnebago Travato.
We are.
It's class 59G.
B. Class B.
Yes.
So we kind of share that background. And I'm still amazed that I love the title of your whole YouTube stuff, The Fit RV.
Yeah.
James, you kind of concentrate on the Fit RV as a vehicle.
Right.
And Stephanie, of course, you are a model of fitness on the road.
That's right.
Something that we can be honest with and say is not shared by most RVers.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. It's really hard when we're out of our routine. When we're on the road, everything's dynamic and every day is changing. But when we're home in the sticks and bricks, we have our routines. And so fitness is an easier thing to do when you're in a stable setting. But on the road, it just throws all that out of the window and it's hard to keep fitness as a focus.
And there's that whole vacation mindset that comes into play too. We're out in the RV, you know, I'm on vacation. I'm gonna eat that, you know, and you wouldn't do that at home, but
right,
you know, if you think about it, you wouldn't say, I'm on vacation, I'm not going to take my blood pressure medication. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So you just need to think of it a little differently.
Yeah.
And it's just part of life.
You're a big booster of bands, right?
Resistance bands.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they're portable, they're light, and they're cheap. And so we do encourage people to travel with resistance bands because that's a great way to get your strength in. And taking a walk is easy in the RV. You can just open up the door and go, but the strength part gets more challenging. So yeah, bands are a great way to get the strength going.
Yeah, and the space challenge thing is comes into play with the bands. You can do a lot with a little bit of equipment.
We'll link to a couple, maybe you can refer to a couple of your favorite workouts,
okay,
or ideas for workouts. We'll put a link in the show notes because we're all doing this together here to share the
right
lifestyle.
Yeah.
James, what about the Fit RV itself, keeping an RV fit?
You know, we do RV content, but we try to make it more amusing than just this is how you would check your tire pressure in the RV. So we try to make it a little more entertaining than that. Sometimes we don't quite hit the mark, but sometimes we do. Like latest stuff we did, we did a piece on weighing your RV. Hugely important thing. Not that many people actually bother to do it.
So 6.5 years of doing this, I've never weighed my RV.
You bad.
Because I'm afraid of what it'll say.
You're a Class B, so you're probably in better shape than a lot of rigs. Yeah. But it's really easy. So there's you see the CAT scales at truck stops, and we've all been to truck stops, and you see the CAT scales. There's an app. You can set up the app on your phone, and then basically you just drive right onto the scale, and you don't need the big long stick to hit the button to call the weighmaster. You don't have to even go inside. So we did that video, and to make it amusing and to show how easy it was, we actually made Steph do the weighing in an evening gown and heels.
We made Steph. James bribed me to wear an evening gown and heels to do the weighing at the truck stop.
That's pretty good.
It was a little ridiculous, but at the same time, the video was kind of useful. So. Yeah.
And if you want to get noticed at a truck stop, wear an evening dress and heels.
So the serious side of that, why is that so important? Well, no, let's be really blunt about it. RV manufacturers don't really share very well just how much or how little you can really store without
going
over that river.
So there are a number of reasons why weighing your rig is important. The first, as you're alluding to, you want to make sure you're not overweight. It's a safety thing, right? A lot of these, especially, I find it more in like the smaller C coaches, that are maybe built on some of these van chassis. They come out of the factory pretty close to max weight. You can only put a few hundred pounds of stuff, including people, in them. So that's one reason. Another reason is setting your tire pressure properly. You should know how much your rig weighs so that you know how much load each tire is carrying so you can set your tire pressure properly. Towing is something that comes into play with weight. You know, if you want to tow something, and we actually, since we got the CAT, we tow sometimes a little trailer now.
CAT has the trailer?
Because we need the litter box in the van, we normally store our race bikes inside the van, but now we have to have another place for our bikes, and we don't want to carry them on the outside bike rack because they're expensive and they're also our babies. So we got a little tiny 4x6 trailer to carry our bike supplies.
When we bring the cat. So you always know if we have the cat because we'll have the trailer on.
Yes.
But towing, again, is another reason why it's just important to know how much your rig weighs. And it's really easy to do, and not enough people do it. And so we made the video to kind of try to encourage people to do that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So, we talked about the vacation mode, how that doesn't, you can't live life every day on vacation.
Right.
We talked a little bit about the fitness bands, but the importance of staying active and moving around.
Right.
What are some of the couple of quick tips that you would offer people?
Well, I think some of it starts with our mindset. You know, we have to understand why we need to exercise. And, throughout our lifespans, we're in two different phases. We're either in a phase of growth or we're in a phase of decaying. And I know that sounds very depressing that we're in a decaying mode, but it's just...
Okay, this is a good idea.
It's the physiological part of our bodies that once we hit a certain age, things start to decline. So exercise becomes so important as we're aging because really the only way to switch our modes back to growth phase is through exercise. It's by breaking down our muscle tissue and rebuilding it stronger so we're in growth phase again. And as we age, if we don't exercise, we stay in that decay phase, and that's when we start to age and seeing the negative effects aging has on our bodies.
So
my number
hiking,
hiking. So my number one tip of all the tips we've given for staying fit in the air, my absolute favorite one is our 2-hour rule.
Okay.
And that's, if you're out driving or something like that, every 2 hours, stop. Get out of the van or your RV or do something. Get some activity. That could be a short roadside attraction. It could be just doing some push-ups in a rest area. It could be get out and move every 2 hours.
Now, how long should we move?
15 minutes. Yes, 15 minutes.
You had to ask that question.
And we have to, and we try to make those stops fun. Like, we'll find some interesting roadside attraction, stop, check it out, and then we'll do some push-ups on the RV or some step-ups in and out of it, or we'll jog around the RV. So we, that two-hour rule is definitely one of our big ones.
Now, that's your two-hour rule. We have a 3:30 rule.
3:30,
which is, you know, unless you have to be someplace.
Yeah.
Like, we've just driven two marathon days of 12 hours a day. But generally, when we're going someplace, stop by 3:30 in the afternoon.
Excellent.
Or drive no more than 330 miles, so that then you have some time at the end of the day to tour, see places,
wonderful,
walk around the campsite, not have to back in after dark.
Yeah.
Hit that electric box because you can't see it.
Sometimes our 3:30 rule is 3:30 a.m.
we've had that rule,
we've
too.
We've had those days.
Yes, so, but I love that rule because it's also making the drive be part of the vacation and part of the fun. So you're not just pushing through and taxing your body. You're actually enjoying the journey, too.
Well, I will put links on the show notes and in the video description. But why don't you tell everybody who's too lazy to look at that how they can find the Fit RV?
They can just go to our website, thefitrv.com. And we also have Facebook and Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, search any of those or even just Google for the Fit RV and you'll find us.
All right, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us, Mike and Jennifer.
All right, and we'll put a link to the video version of that interview on the show notes for this episode. And we'll also have, as we always try and do whenever we do an interview, is a word-for-word transcript. I don't know. Let me know, folks out there, do you appreciate the transcript? Otherwise, you know, I've not done them. We had people say, oh, we want to read. We like to read more than listen. I keep trying to explain. It's a podcast. You listen to a podcast. But anyway, for those who find it hard to sometimes listen, maybe they have hearing problems. I've been doing a transcript. If this is helpful, let me know. Drop me an email. That's all I ask. And I'll keep doing it. But we said when we started it, we're going to give it a try and see what the response is. And frankly, I haven't heard a lot of people say, oh yeah, we're really glad there's a transcript. And if you're not, if it's no big deal, let me know that. And it would save me, you know, a good hunk of an afternoon a week. And I certainly have other things I can do if it's not of use. But there is a transcript of this interview. And there's also the video. And you can find that on the show notes. Just go to roadtrekking.com/214. Scroll on down. Watch the video. Listen to it. We'll read the transcript. It's all right there. The interview of the week brought to you every week on the RV podcast by our friends at sunshinestaterv.com, where every motorhome they sell is delivered to those. If you buy it after listening to this podcast, tell them you heard on the podcast, they will deliver it to your driveway free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find, I am convinced, the largest selection of used Class B RVs anywhere in North America. Now, if you have been shopping and looking for a Class B, a used Class B, you know how hard they are to find. Many dealerships have long waiting lists for used Class Bs. Some of them even charge money to go on that waiting list for an opportunity to bid on a used RV when it comes in. That's how hard it is to sometimes find a Class B. Now, at Sunshine State RVs, they have a huge inventory of all sorts of different Class Bs from the early 90s, 1990s, to right up until the last year. They have used RVs from Road Trek, from Pleasureway, from Winnebago, from Leisure Travel, and many more. You will not find a wider selection of used RVs anywhere else. And every RV they sell goes through a really detailed inspection process. Now, they also sell new RV, new Class Bs. They have brand new Road Treks. They have brand new Hymers. They have Coachmen, brand new Coachmans. And all of their RVs, new and used, go through a very thorough 172-point inspection. I have seen, Jennifer and I have been down there, we've visited, and we've seen Matt and his technical crew there go through. They make sure that all of the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. They road test every RV to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior as entirely as they do the outside. Every component is turned on and tested to make sure it works. And all of their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks. You check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, checking in with us this week, as he does every week on the podcast, is our friend Andy Choi.
Hi, Mike. There's no question when you're on the go, keeping up with all your responsibilities can be a challenge. So this week, a few tips to make sure your mobility isn't getting in the way of work, life, and everything in between. Don't worry about finding an outlet or running down your phone battery while in an Uber, subway, or the RV with the Belkin Boost Up Charge Power Bank. With its thin, compact shape and elegant one-cable design, this power bank is convenient to pack and can supply up to 35 extra hours of battery life. When en route to an event, conference, or business trip, stay hands-free when it comes to taking calls with the Jabra Freeway Bluetooth speaker. The device pairs over Bluetooth with a smartphone to send and receive calls and texts. No doubt when you're out and about, there's a chance you might lose some things. The Tile can also help you give peace of mind on the go by keeping track of your most needed items, such as your keys, bag, and phone, with the Tile's 200-foot Bluetooth range. So, whether the RV is 200 feet or 200 miles from home, don't let your on-the-go status keep you from staying on the ball. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
And we've got links to all of these gadgets and gizmos that Andy just talked about. You can click on that link and get more information about them on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/214. And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, America's most reliable wireless network. They are the official wireless provider for the RV podcast. When we are out and about all across North America, that's the way we get through. We have to update our blog. We have to upload and download pictures and videos and podcasts, and we can do it all on the Verizon 4G LTE network. It is available almost everywhere we go, maybe the most remote places. Just a handful of them have we not been able to get a signal. And many times we are the only ones in the campground that has a reliable signal. That's Verizon. It's not just our experience. They are ranked highest in leading network studies and multiple tests year after year that measure things like network quality performance and user satisfaction. That's Verizon. Can your network say that? If not, you are on the wrong network. You're stuck there, but you can get unstuck. Head over to Verizon and find out how.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, checking in with another great Off the Beaten Path report. This one coming from way out on the West Coast. Here's our friends Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. The Salton Sea is a peculiar place. It's a basin at the foot of the Imperial Valley in California, surrounded by an unforgiving landscape. The sea fills periodically from the flooding of the Colorado River. That last happened naturally in the 1600s, as remembered by Native American history. In 1905, the basin was flooded for 2 years because of an engineering accident on the Colorado's irrigation canals. The newly refilled basin became a resort area frequented by stars from Las Vegas and Los Angeles. Its heyday was the 1950s. As the lake began to recede, the resorts were left stranded hundreds of yards from the increasingly salty and malodorous water.
Now the fancy hotels and resort towns are derelict, with an occasional resident or marginal business. We drove through Bombay Beach, where a few residents were out walking their dogs and looked at us as if to say, "What in the world are you doing here?" The entire area is spooky, with a sense of otherworldliness to it, overlaid by a persistent, tangy stench from the distant water.
Still, alongside this peculiar inland sea is an equally peculiar attraction, the International Banana Museum. Ken Bannister started collecting banana finalia in 1972. His was eventually named the world's largest collection of items related to one fruit by the Guinness Book of World Records. In 2010, after nearly 20 years of smiles, he sold the museum to Fred Garbutt, owner of a small and struggling bar in Mecca, California. Fred converted part of the bar to house the collection and opened it to the public.
Now you can stop by, if it happens to be open while you're there, and see more than 20,000 iterations of the pasty fruit on the walls, ceilings, and floors. There are banana items for sale, from keychains to jigsaw puzzles to recipe books. The most popular item by far is a $2 chocolate-dipped frozen banana on a stick. And if you buy anything worth $2 or more, admission to the museum is free. His sister, who dipped our bananas, said that the museum has helped the bar business as they hoped it would.
If you like, you can stay nearby at one of the California State Park campgrounds that dot the shore. Some are fancier than others. We stayed at Corvina Beach, a long gravel patch that stretches between the highway and the water. It was populated mostly by rigs flying Canadian flags. It has simple and clean bathrooms, picnic tables, and trash service. A much larger campground, 2 miles down the road, has showers as well, but it was closed when we were there. We were sitting at our picnic table well after dark when a car arrived and parked nearby. Four young women got out, and we could see their flashlight moving down and along the beach. Out came a shovel, and after a bit of digging, they returned to their car and drove off. A mystery.
The Salton Sea was anything but attractive when we visited, but it certainly was fascinating. So, too, the nearby Slab City, about which Jim and Rhonda Phipps have reported. The campground was basic and satisfactory. The museum was a flat-out hoot. Don't take our word for it, though. You can make up your own mind when you join us out here off the beaten path.
Banana finale? Finalia? Banana finale? How did you ever find that one? All right. We've got links to all the places that the Birkins just talked about out there by the Salton Sea, and a couple of pictures, including one of Tom eating that $2 chocolate-dipped frozen banana. Another great off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Birkins. You can hear another one next week on the podcast as well. Off the Beaten Path, it comes to you every single week on the RV Podcast.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Just two shows that we were able to find that are coming up this weekend. The fall RV show started and season started around the country in early September, and it will go right on up until early November, and then it kind of ends up until after the holidays. But there's two this weekend we want to point out to. One of them is one we attended last year, and that is October 18th through the 24th down in the Emerald Coast region of Florida, right there in Fort Walton Beach at the Emerald Coast Convention Center. It's the annual Florida Panhandle RV Show, October 18th through the 21st in Fort Walton Beach. And then October 19th through the 21st, it's the Pittsburgh RV Liquidation Super Sale. This is a great sale. If you're looking to save money on, say, a 2018 RV, as the dealers are making way for the 2019s, you need to stop in and check out this. The Pittsburgh RV Liquidation Super Sale. It's at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. And remember, if you would like to have your voice be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message to us by clicking the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Also, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever your favorite podcast app is. You'll find us there. Just search for RV Podcast. New episodes of this podcast are released every Wednesday morning. We have not missed a Wednesday in 214 weeks. We invite you to join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers free every Monday morning. And don't forget our YouTube channel, located with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. Just go to rvlifestylechannel.com. You can find all of that stuff from our main presence on the web, which is roadtrekking.com, our RV lifestyle blog. Hey, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendlin. We'll see you out there road trekking across North America. Happy trails, everybody.